Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Friday at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks, FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, TD, obviously a gut punch to begin the week for the Titans, losing Derrick Henry for the foreseeable future. As you look at this matchup specifically against the Rams, what's your game plan if you're Todd Downing to attack this Rams defense without having your bell cow in the backfield that you've grown so accustomed to having?
I think you still want to maintain the same approach, whereas you run the football, you establish that and make it known that that's what you're there to do, and then you work the play action off of it. But they're going to have to get a little more creative and find ways to get some of their playmakers the football. It looks like Julio Jones will play, so I would expect to have some smoke routes, like some screens and those type of things to them. And when I say them, I mean he and A.J. Brown. You know, both of those guys, you want to get them quick touches, allow them to make plays with the ball in their hands, and that can kind of be an extension of the rushing attack, you know, and work quick passes to your slot guys, whether it's Marcus Johnson or Chester Rogers, whoever that may be. And I think something's interesting with this game that no one's really looking at, and that's the fact that this is a Josh Reynolds. You know, he's getting to go against his former team, so I would like to see them get him in the mix and try to get some plays for him to, you know, have some type of impact.
Yeah, no, you're right. No one's really talking about it. I mean, Vrabel was asked about him this week and kind of quickly went to the blocking, playing without the ball thing without necessarily saying he's not doing that, but he was asked what he isn't doing, and he sort of talked about that. But I agree. Like, I feel like at this point you got to try to take advantage of every weapon you have, and I still think that he could, you know, factor in and help this team. So, TD, what's realistic with Adrian Peterson, you know, in terms of what he has left and what he can give this team, and how do you think? And for that matter, what's realistic with Deontay Foreman? You know, both of those guys, you know, not in the league, the Titans sign them. And how do you think that the distribution of carries and usage will break down between those two and McNichols?
Yeah, well, we saw yesterday the approach to try to accelerate that process for them and get them used to contact during the individual period. Pretty much all of their, you know, their reps, they had three of the practice guys, the defenders, come over and just bang into them a little bit. Just like I said, to get them used to that contact again. I would think, you know, between 8 to 10 carries for those guys is probably where it would be. They'll go, in my opinion, with the committee, and you'll see a rotation of those three guys on the early downs, Foreman and Peterson, as well as McNichols. But then I think third down, that's McNichols. He thrives, and I think that's going to be his opportunity to, you know, carry on what he's been doing, catching the ball out of the backfield and doing those things. So I expect a committee approach.
TD, how difficult is this Rams offense to defend when you factor in, you know, the motions that they'll do pre-snap, the wide running game, and obviously now you have Matthew Stafford operating things at the quarterback position as well? What have you seen out of this Rams offense, and how big a challenge is this going to be for the Titans defense?
Yeah, there's multiple things that have happened that, you know, have led to some big plays for them. A lot of it is Matthew Stafford being able to hit Cooper Kupp in stride and allow him to use his excellent yards after catch ability, and you're seeing that in those crossing routes, right? And along with that is the play design where you have layered crossing routes designed to take a defender out and get the ball to one of the guys in space, and it just continues to be Cooper Kupp. So that's something. You mentioned the wide rushing attack, and they'll play action off of that. And it's interesting because they'll take, for instance, they'll go, you know, wide play action to the right and boot Matthew Stafford to the left, and then he'll throw it back across the field. And, you know, you're not really expecting those kind of things. You know, when you play action and you throw it to the opposite side, you know, not a lot of guys have the ability to throw a deep pass like that, you know, from left to right or right to, you know, vice versa. And that's actually what I did in Whiteboard Wednesday this week, was highlight a touchdown that Van Jefferson got. And it was off of that exact type of play. So that's something. And then you just have, you know, Robert Woods is such a really good route runner. So there's a lot to deal with. Darrell Henderson is a solid, not too threatening running back, but it's still enough for their play action to work, and they play action as well as anybody in the league. So that's really what you have to be concerned about.
Yeah. So, and speaking of concern, I mean, I look at the injury report, and I mean, Chris Jackson hasn't been out there this week. You know, Greg Maben, the recent pickup who goes right into the starting lineup, both those guys banged up. We did see, we've seen the game day activation before. Do you think Christian Fulton could still potentially be in this game, TD?
I don't think, I mean, potentially yes, but I think it's very, very unlikely just because they haven't even designated him to return to practice. Normally that's the process, right? A guy get designated, like you look at Hooker, he was designated to return to practice. He practiced that week and then was activated on game day. You know, like that's the normal process, you know, going from IR. Now, for some of the other guys, like maybe Jackson or Maven, even Jeffrey Simmons, that haven't practiced all week, they could still play because, I mean, like they, you know, they're not coming off of IR. They've been, you know, practicing. They just missed this week. So it's different. I don't think it's likely at all.
TD, how do you put into words what Kevin Byard has been able to do so far this season? You know, we talked to you a lot last year about it. Hey, is Kevin Byard struggling, or is it more of a factor of what's going on around him on this defense? Obviously, an impressive response for him so far this year. What do you kind of make of what Kevin Byard has been able to do out there?
Yeah, well, you're kind of seeing a fish back in water, right? They're allowing him to play more center field, show his range, and he's as rangy, you know, maybe Justin Simmons might be the only guy I could think of that has better range, a better center fielder. And I don't even know that he's a better center fielder than Byard. So I think that's really what it is. He's allowed to play kind of top-down defense. And you look over this past, six games, you know, they have 9 turnovers. Kevin Byard is directly tied to 4 of them. And then you have the fumble that he returned for a touchdown. So this guy is definitely worthy of the award that he got, right? Defensive Player of the Month. And I think those words are how you kind of sum up what he did, Defensive Player of the Month. I think that's it right there. But, you know, you're finally seeing a pass rush, too, and that's obviously helping. That's something that Shane Bowen mentioned right away when asked about Byard. And it just, the front end and back end, like, those are two units that, I mean, they're directly correlated. So, you know, those two units have to play well, and it really just, they feed off of each other, their success. So that's really what you're seeing with Byard.
So a couple spots, TD, to be filled on this roster. Speaking of return to play, Aaron Brewer has been in that process. Daniel Munyer waived yesterday. I wonder if Brewer could be a factor and it could be activated. And if so, I mean, obviously, you know, it's just not the game that you want to have any sort of interior offensive line injuries and shuffling, right, against Aaron Donald and company.
Right.
But would you expect possibly Brewer to be the choice over Dylan Raidens? And then on top of that, what else can the Titans do, move in the pocket, whatever else, to try to neutralize or you know, somewhat minimize the impact of Donald on this game?
Yeah, I would imagine Brewer would be activated, and he would be over Dylan Raidens. I just think that's a better matchup for, not even matchup, but it's just better for them because he does have, you know, at least a year of experience under his belt. As far as Aaron Donald, man, this is because you also have to factor in Nate Davis. You know, haven't really seen him this week, so that's something. Your right guard position, you know, what's going to happen there? So. I would run it, Aaron Donald, from, you know, I'm not saying like consistently, but I would run the ball directly at him and give your guys, you know, opportunity to kind of weigh on him a little bit. You know, that's something that you're going to have to do. But as you mentioned, moving the pocket, you definitely have to move the pocket away from him. But the problem is you got two really good wide rushers in Von Miller and Leonard Floyd. So it's going to be tough sledding. If you do move the pocket, you know, you're moving to those guys who get after the passer really well. So I think that's where you go back, like I said, that quick passing game, that's going to be important to do that and to try to minimize Donald's pass rush, you know, by getting the ball out of Tannehill's hands quickly.
Ron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, last thing for you here. Who does Joe Rexrode love more, in your opinion, Mekhi Sargent or Nick Westbrook-Ikhina?
Oh, it's no competition. It's Westbrook-Ikhina. But, you know, I just think it's interesting, though, just kind of like a side note, a lot of people are reacting like the Rams are trying to steal intel.
Yeah.
It's just funny to me because, yeah, they signed him. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's not much that he could – give them that they don't see on film. Like you got eight games on film, so there's already enough quote unquote intel out there. At the end of the day, you have to stop it.
Everybody, all these Titans fans think they signed him for intel, but in 2 years when he's an all-pro running back for the Rams, then I'll make sure to go back on him.
Okay, we shall see, man. Maybe in 2 years I'll be, I don't know where I'll be.
we'll all be male models.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. I'm working on it.
Yeah, me too, buddy. TD, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Looking forward to your coverage coming up this weekend from LA, man.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Right,
absolutely. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. Presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what TD had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing yesterday at his media availability, saying he would be doing his team a disservice if he jerked the wheel on the offense right now. Joe Rexrode, I kind of like that. I mean, you can't just like totally abandon ship on your identity, even though Derrick Henry is gone. Now, is the offense going to change? Is the play calling in certain situations going to change? Yeah, probably. But it's not like you just totally abandon the running game now that Derrick Henry is not available.
Right. I mean, you have to run the football to some extent. You no longer have the running game as your hammer. I mean, that's what it was. You were the most feared running game in the NFL because you had the most feared back who not only could batter a defense over the course of four quarters, but could at any moment hit a home run. If you let them out of there, and you had to put – defenses had to put a ton of emphasis on that, so they change more than the Titans change. Defenses will change more than the Titans will change, but I totally agree with what Todd Downing said. You have to be able to have that. I mean, look, your offense is built around still running these plays. You still need your offensive linemen to execute, and if they do, and you have a serviceable back running those plays, you can still get production out of the run, and you can still set up the play action, and run your offense. I mean, you can't change your offense. Now, you're going to call different plays probably more often than other plays that you call that you called more often, and now you'll call them less often, right? But, and I do think, like, matchup base this week in particular, like TD said, this is a get the ball the heck out of your hand week. But it was going to be anyway when you threw the ball.
Right.
It's just that now, I mean, the Rams would have been much easier, I think, to probably run play action on and just a little bit less aggressive because you had 22, and now they can, I'm sure, feel like they can just let it rip.
Then on the other side of the ball, you know, this is an interesting matchup because this offense is intriguing anyway. There's a whole lot of motion that goes into it. There's a whole lot of pre-snap things that take place. The wide running scheme, as TD talked about in the last segment as well. I mean, it's the Sean McVay offense that we've gotten used to seeing. And, you know, it's not like it's perfect, even though Sean McVay, apparently, according to some, could walk on water outside SoFi Stadium and get to the sideline without having to go through normal processes like us humans have to do. But I will say, it is interesting to watch this offense with a quarterback not named Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford, been awfully good so far this year.
I mean, McVay's pretty cut, though, man. You got to admit.
Yeah, he is.
Dude, that dude's, you know, dude's got a six-pack, man.
Yeah.
Per Hard Knocks, whenever year that was.
You going to put him in the NFL head coach fight rankings?
Yeah, he'd be one of those guys who would look tough, and then, my gosh, would he get just bludgeoned by Vrabel or Dan Campbell.
I mean, he comes up to Vrabel's sternum, probably, so yeah.
But, yeah, he might win arm wrestling. I don't know. I forgot your point there. X's and O's genius, Sean McVay.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Stafford at the quarterback
position. Well, yeah, look, I mean, I'm sorry, but I have to agree. I know that he took some criticism for how that all went down with Jared Goff and everything, and they did get to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and I think it's been laughable how anyone mildly associated with Sean McVay could get an NFL head coaching job, but he is pretty good, and I think you see the difference this year when you have a guy with the ability that Stafford has compared to a Jared Goff. There's a pretty big gap between those two guys.
Yes, I would say so. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jonathan from Spring Hill texting in, over under 24.5 average rushing attempts per game without Derek. I think Derek's average is around 30. What do you think, 24.5 rushing attempts as a team? You going over, you going under?
I'd probably – so we're talking average for the rest of the way? I'd probably go under slightly, but I'll tell you what, if they're there or over, that bodes really well for them. I mean, that means they're sustaining drives. That means that they're having enough success to keep with it and stick with it. But I'd probably go a little bit under. You know, it's hard to, I mean, look, like in this game, I'm gonna smash the under button, okay? Because I don't think that they're going to have that kind of success. And I think they may well be, you know, playing catch up at some point in the game and kind of having to abandon it. Now, in future matchups, I think that they could still have success against some of the bad defenses and bad teams playing out the string in November and December. You know, so that will make it close. That's a good over under. I think that's a pretty close to what it should be.
I mean, I would smash the under on this matchup, too. I will say, in the games they have coming up against the Houston Texans, which I fully believe Derrick Henry is going to run for like 295 yards in each of those games, I still think they could probably get about 150, 175 yards rushing in those games.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but, you know, if they find – I just don't know what Adrian Peterson is. I just have no idea. I mean, yeah. He looks like he's in great shape out there. Who was it yesterday talking to us? In fact, it may have – was it Long? I don't remember. But somebody was telling us – and Michelle, you were there. Somebody was telling us how – maybe it was McNichols. I don't know. But how like – man, you can see like he's all even excited in the drills. Were you there for that part? I forget who the heck it was. I'm sorry. Maybe NWI. How could I forget? I'm so sorry, NWI. But regardless, the point being, yeah, it's like you can tell – like he's been out for 10 months. That's what they say. Like he's been out for 10 months and you can kind of see, oh, it was Chester Rogers. Okay. Whew. I figured it out. Thank you. Like you can tell he's been out 10 months, and you can see just even in like the drills, he's like excited to do the drills, you know? And that's, I mean, look, if he's in great shape and he's been kind of holding out to try to get a chance to play with a contender, and he's got juice left here during a time of the year when every team is banged up, they should end up being real good for them. I just don't know. You're still talking 36, so much tread off the tires. I mean, I thought last year with the Lions, he had some good moments, but also you could see where he was in his career. So for your scenario to play out, Robbie, like you still have to have somebody who's good at doing it. I just don't know what they have.
McWeapon, baby. Sign me up.
I mean, Jared thinks that he's going to be the primary. I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, I think in the case of McNichols, I think he's been doing a really good job in his role, and you keep him in his role, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, I would say that this week I would probably expect more rushing the football for him than we'll see moving forward, and maybe he'll do well with it, and you go with that more. But I think the plan has got to be, you know, Peterson has this this burst of rejuvenation and really gives you something. And then Foreman, I thought he looked good last year in limited opportunities, especially that game at Cincinnati. You know, he runs with some power. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it unfolds and then how they adjust to, you know, whoever's playing well and what works best in the offense.
Did NWI address the media yesterday?
He did.
So did he make, like, eye contact with you and then, like, slowly start to walk in the other direction after last week?
He saw me and he's like, guys, I have no comment.
Okay? I actually was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if Joe's going to be like, hey.
Hey, buddy.
I'm the guy.
Hey, can I have a fist bump? Fist bump, buddy, huh? Can I get you something? Yeah, no, I try to, yeah, you know.
You were just chilling, as Paul said yesterday.
Yeah.
I was chilling. I had my bubbly in my hand and just having some nice conversation with guys. But, yeah, I'm trying not to be creepy around NWI. Okay.
And he wasn't. With NWI, still a top five moment in the history of Robbie and Rex Rhodes.
Total awkwardness.
Josh on the text line. If it's not too late, I want to change my call your shot to AJ and Julio. If I could speak, AJ and Julio will score a touchdown. Josh Reynolds, 70 plus yards. So Josh, a believer in the Josh Reynolds revenge tour game coming up on Sunday.
Maybe they've just been saving him. Maybe they've been saving him for this. You know, if Julio does play, that'll be very interesting too. Like, who is the third guy? I know that they'll rotate guys, but, you know, we haven't seen a lot of impact from Marcus Johnson. I still think there's impact to be made there. NWI has been solid, you know, in his opportunities. Again, touchdown catch. That's one thing he talked about yesterday, by the way, was his girlfriend's family is from Indy. Of course, he's a Hoosier. So he had all kinds of people there to enjoy his TD catch, and he kept the ball and everything. You know, is Reynolds at some point going to do anything? Rodgers getting healthier. I mean, he's before he got hurt, he was a guy that Tannehill was starting to really build something with. So, some interesting options there. And hey, I can't rule out Josh Reynolds for making some kind of impact, or like Didi said, maybe coming out and having a little revenge game. I just don't get the sense from Vrabel that, you know, that he's a big fan of someone who isn't an effective blocker at receiver. And I know you laugh, but, I mean, they've talked about that a lot this week. And you talk about trying to find a few more yards in the run game without Derrick Henry. I mean, every block counts.
Later this morning, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores the goal in the game Sunday, you will win a Nashville SC prize pack. We'll have that opportunity coming up at 9:45. When we come back, we'll be joined by the legendary Terry Criss. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they're still in the midst of a long road trip here in the first part of November. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As we do every Friday at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Terry Chris, Predators TV analyst. Terry, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Just a great morning again. The coffee is good. She and I are sitting here having a wonderful conversation about all the news in the world today. So, and waiting for your call and to have some fun.
Well, Crispy, we got a lot to get to on the Predators front, but let me just start by saying Saturday, I think a very bittersweet day for all of us, including myself, you announcing your retirement at the end of this season. First off, I think it goes without saying you've done such a wonderful job for the growth of hockey, but just personally, you know, I grew up and learned a lot of the game because of you. So I want to take this time to thank you. I love you, my friend, and really looking forward to this ride together the last part of this season.
Hey, thank you so much. And Sheila and I want to just say to you and all the people, thanks for that and the reception. But you know what? We talked about it, and it's been a wonderful trip. I mean, 23 years ago, Sheila and I, we came up, we did one game to be part of the original when they didn't have an analyst. And 23 years later, we are still here. And not very long ago, Sheila and I sat having our coffee, and we said, did you ever think that we would grow old together in Nashville, Tennessee? We started laughing. We said, no. But what a wonderful place to do it. And, I mean, it's just been a wonderful trip. And as we all know, in life, there's certain things that come to an end, to a trail and whatnot, and you look around and say it's time. And we just felt that, you know what, we've had such a wonderful trip, that it was time here, and have one last year with all of our fans, et cetera. Have a fun, say farewell. And we're not leaving the city. We're staying here because we love Nashville, you and I. And our family certainly love coming down here. So it's not a goodbye. It's just a little move over.
So did you finally get sick of dealing with Stillman? Is that it, Terry?
You know what? That's my one time when I can get up and get really agitated and get insulted and insult them back. And it's been fun. So I got to tell you, I know he's going to walk the line. And you feel like a Dom Sillery. You either love him or hate him. And I've enjoyed it. Because one thing about Stillman, let's be honest about that, you know what he's thinking. And he lets you know whether you like it or not.
Oh, yes. We love Jared. We love our Crispy, too. So I got to say, yeah, and this is, I think there's going to be a lot of great moments along the way here for you, Crispy, in this final year. And I think it's awesome that you are, you know, enjoying, you know, announcing and then enjoying the rest of the season, you know, in this role. I thought it was so cool the other night in Calgary. One, you know, seeing, I mean, I remember, like, Lanny McDonald, that guy was just – I mean, how do you not love that guy, first of all, back then, just watching him play? And I still – it brought back all those memories of that cup you guys won. I forgot how awesome your hair was then, too, by the way. But the footage and then you and Lanny hanging out with Willie and stuff, what was that night like for you? And you had your whole family in there with you. What was that like for you?
You know what? It was wonderful. And the thing about it is, it's true, man, when they first, when Sean Henry and Billy Wickett and their company and our organization brought up, I said, oh, no, come on, guys. I just want to go quietly into the sunset. And they said, no, you're not leaving quietly. And when they called the Calgary Flames, and they were so good about it. But when we got there, in my wildest imagination, I couldn't imagine the reception that Sheila and I got. And our whole 18 of us in the suite with all our friends, the alumni, it was amazing. And You sit back, as Sheila and I did, and coming home and whatnot, to thank Mr. and Mrs. Fritch and all of them for that. It's a walk down memory lane for us that says, you know what? Sometimes when you sit back and look at it, you are appreciated. And we thoroughly thank them all for that. And our family loved it.
Predators legend Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Crispy, with all that being said, what have you made of the Predators so far on this road trip? Obviously, Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, we talked to you a lot about last week as well, but they continue to play well, continue to be productive. What do you think of those two specifically to begin the season, both with the production that they've had, but also their play away from the puck as well? What have you made of those two overall?
Probably the same thing as I thought all along. These are two very skilled hockey players, highly skilled hockey players. And so Forsberg is in the mix with it. Let's hope he's not too badly injured. But he is also one of them. And when these guys are playing at the top of their game, we're a solid team, a good team, and they're the leaders on it. But the click was it that they can't take any nights off. And right now, they have kicked it back into gear. I think they've decided they're going to be the leaders on this team, that they're capable of being, and that's what I like to see. And the rest of the team is falling in. The rest are working, and Saros is unbelievable. And the last game we were up in Edmonton watching, the game before in Calgary, that was a hockey game, up and down and hitting and going. And then the guys had to come right back into the Lions then in Edmonton. And I got to tell you one thing, Edmonton is probably the fastest hockey club I've seen. I mean, they just are fat. We've seen them, and they come at us in waves. And I'm not making any excuses. We're a little tired. But when Davey Tippett, the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, he's a great coach, towards the last half of the game, he cheated. And I say by cheated, he put out Draisaitl and McDavid on the same line. That's not fair to anybody. That is just not fair to anybody. It's worth the money to watch those guys play. But I think the guys are I know they're on the right path, our team. After last year's playoff and sort of a slow start, yes. And again, like we said, you still have Ekholm and Josi on the back end to help the youngsters coming in. So I like what I see of our hockey club.
So, Crispy, so much made of the young guys coming into the season, of course. Not sure exactly, what the roles would look like, even early. Philip Tomasino sits down, comes back. In particular with him, what are you seeing from him? Do you feel like, he's a guy who maybe at some point, not too far in the future, is, a top six forward who can be one of the driving offensive forces for this team? Or am I getting too far ahead of myself?
No, I don't think you're getting far ahead of yourself. You're like the rest of us. You're hoping that, and that's what we're looking for, a youngster like him. But the only thing I caution again is the fact that if you recall when we first got Tolvanen and a couple of the other youngsters, we hailed them as the savior, the second coming, and that's not fair. We do that to them, and we learned that lesson. And right now, and I talked with him, Tomasino is a good youngster. He has got hockey sense, hockey skills, and he sees the ice. He loves the puck. He loves the puck. He wants to go to the net with it, and he makes things happen. But he's also going to have to learn when they hit the bigs that you only have so much time to make the plays, so much time, and he'll learn it. But what I've seen of him so far, I like it, and I especially like his hockey sense and the plays and the decisions that he makes when he's out there with the puck.
Crispy, last thing for you here. Obviously, it was announced the other day that Pekka Rinne going to have his jersey retired by the Predators. I don't think that's a big surprise to many people, but just your reaction to seeing number 35 going up in the Raptors as the first jersey to be retired by the Predators.
Oh, man, I love that. And it was Pete Weber and I and some of our broadcasters, we were talking about it. And you talk things and you say, okay, in our history, there's never been a sweater put up on the Raptors in Nashville with the Predators. And we're saying, well, yeah, and unanimously, everybody said, well, we all know it's going to be Pekka Rinne, and it should be Pekka Rinne. It has to be Pekka Rinne. And thank goodness the people are smarter, because we all know that Pekka Rinne is probably the most loved player that's come. And we've had a lot of great players go through here. You put Mike Fisher, et cetera. But Pekka Rinne has carved his own spot into the hearts of our fans and the hearts of our media here. And everybody ever knows him or met him or watched him play. So to me, I just feel a sense of gratuity that I was lucky enough to watch Pekka Rinne play the way he played and carried this team on his shoulders a lot of times. And I think it's the most befitting thing that our organization has done, is taking that jersey and putting his first retired up in the Raptors.
Well, Crispy, we really, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Really looking forward to this last ride together with you throughout the season, and looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. It's been a wonderful trip, and it's going to be a wonderful finish right to the end of it. And Sheila and I are looking forward to it. And thank you guys for everything. And all of our fans out there, hey, we're not going away. And we still have lots of time to drop by the desk, say hi to Crispy. If you see Sheila on the concourse, say hi to her.
That's right, absolutely. The legendary Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Joins us every Friday at 8:30. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 102.5 for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators as they take on the Vancouver Canucks. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Nashville Predators taking on the Vancouver Canucks tonight at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock pregame here on 102.5 The Game. A late one tonight on the West Coast out in Vancouver for the Nashville Predators. And the standings are as such. Joe Rex Road on a heater right now in Preds Pick to Click. He has three correct answers. The listeners with two, Robbie Stanley with one, and Michelle with zero. Still very early in the competition, but Joe Rex Road on a roll right now.
I suck at everything but this, but at least I have this. Let me have this. Let me just curl up in a ball and have this. Thank you.
We'll see what we can do. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Steven from Murfreesboro. Steven, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up, guys? I'm 1-0 on Pick to Click, so let's make it 2-0.
Nice.
Let's see if we can get it going here. So, Steven, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators against the Vancouver Canucks?
I'm going to go kind of off the wall. I'm going to say Philip Tomasino.
Oh, I like that. Philip Tomasino, the selection. He's been getting some chances as of late. Steven, we appreciate you calling in. We'll see if you can go 2-0.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Steven from Murfreesboro going with Philip Tomasino as the first pick in the competition today. Joe Rex Road. You are up next, believe it or not. You are up next. Joe Rex Road, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
See, you guys always make me pick last, and the one time you make me let me pick first, I actually would rather wait but to see what you guys did, but that's okay.
So much complaining
I know.
That goes on every time.
I have to whine.
Can't be first, can't be last.
Have to whine about something. Look, I'm on a heater. He's on a heater. Let's stay on a heater. Go Matt Duchene.
Going with Matt Duchene in the competition. He is definitely playing very well as of late. Give me Mikael Granlund. I said in Call Your Shot Friday, he's going to score two goals against Vancouver. So if he's going to score twice, I got to take him. And Preds picked the click, so I'm going with Granlund.
Way to be consistent. Michelle doesn't like to do that. She'll have a Call Your Shot, and then she won't do it in the picks and pick them. But, hey, whatever.
Wow, Michelle. Some
totally called me out there on that one. Totally did. Hey, that's fair. That's fair. I really should have called my shot on Kentucky football when they beat Florida. Unlike Tennessee, who lost to Florida.
Okay, so. It becomes a shot at Robbie. How about that?
I was going to say, I was defending Michelle. And all
displacing her anger.
Sorry, I was doing five things at once. Robbie, I sincerely apologize. Joe, I don't apologize.
It's fine.
I'm going back to my roots, and listen, I was consistent, and then I didn't pick Ryan Johansson, and then he scored. So today, I'm picking Ryan Johansson.
Ryan Johansson, the final selection in today's edition of Preds Pick to Click. So to wrap it up, Steven from Murfreesboro going with Philip Tomasino with the opening pick. Joe Rex Road selecting Matt Duchene, who has been on a heater alongside Joe Rex Road as of late. Robbie Stanley, myself, going with Mikael Granlund, and Michelle rounding it out with Ryan Johansson, who she moved away from last game. Who scored last game? We'll see what happens on this front tonight. By the way, a homecoming tonight for Ryan Johansson in the Vancouver area. So there you go.
Yes. So he's going to score. Just more reason to score a hat trick.
And how about, there you are.
Do I get 3 points? If he scores a hat trick, can I get 1.5 points?
You cannot.
No.
You could have called that shot, but you didn't. But no, you cannot. But how about like Johansson and Duchene being heavy rotation picks so far in this kind of a sign of the times, right?
Well, it's a sign of the times, but how about like Johansson at all? Like, you know, even when Johansson's played really well here for the Predators, which I think people forget, he's played well a lot for the Predators the last 2 years, notwithstanding. But he's never really been a big goal scorer here. And so far, I mean, you're 10 games in, and he's got 4 goals. That's a pretty good pace so far for Ryan Johansson.
Yeah. I mean, it's right. Like, if we would have done this, you know, 3 years ago, you know, like the President's Trophy year, I still don't think, you know, I don't remember what he had that year off the top of my head, but he wasn't, you know, he's never been a big goal scorer here.
It was probably around 14 or 15.
Yeah, and back then it was like, great player, but shoot the puck more. But that's the thing. This team needs him to find the back of the net. I mean, the state of this roster in terms of the forward group dictates that he's got to do that more.
Joe, we've not talked about this a lot so far this week with everything going on with Derrick Henry, but I do think it's important to bring it up now. We had Terry Crisp on in the last segment. And, you know, Saturday really was. It was bittersweet. I'm really happy for Terry and Sheila that, you know, they're able to kind of leave on their terms and enjoy this last year together in this role for Crispy. And as he said, I mean, he'll still be around. And, you know, this is by no means is, you know, goodbye to Terry Criss. But, you know, as somebody who grew up here and the Predators came around when I believe I was 6 years old, was their first season. I mean, Terry Crisp and Pete Weber are largely responsible for me learning the game of hockey. I mean, that's just what it was. I watched a whole lot of Pete Weber and Terry Crisp. I think I'm not alone. My generation was really the first generation of hockey here growing up with an NHL team. And so Saturday was pretty a bittersweet day for me because Crispy has been a part of my life since I was a little kid. So just a really great run for Terry Crisp. Obviously, we talk all the time about the person that he is and how much of a legend he is in the game of hockey, but this is a big loss. There's nobody that's going to be able to come in and replace Terry Crisp, but I'm really happy that he's announced it when he has, so we can kind of enjoy this last season with Crispy on the broadcast.
Yeah, well said. And, I mean, that's just such a cool story. And how many people, you know, out there could say something similar to what you just said? That, like, I mean, he was part of you and this game coming together, you know? And that's just the fascinating thing to me is to – and I've heard, you know, Crispy and Pete Weber, you know, heard their stories, some of their stories, not all their stories. I want to hear more stories, but I've heard some of their stories about those early days and basically like hockey 101, you know? Yeah. And like grassroots, like, okay, let's talk about the game of hockey. And, you know, even the story of Crispy coming here – when it was sort of like, hey, can you do like a broadcast maybe? And all, you know, and at that point he was resolved to, I believe, stay in Florida, right? And yep. And then it turns into this. I mean, he's a huge part of Nashville Predators history, you know, and you can't, and as is Pete Weber. I mean, I think I put those two together, obviously, for obvious reasons. But man, just what an awesome guy. You know, you talk about someone who's done everything in this game. He's won the cup as a player. He's won the cup as a coach. And there is not a single – I guarantee you, he wouldn't turn down a single person on the street at any point to talk, to chat him up, to take a picture, whatever it is. Just, man, just an awesome dude.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Kathleena. Kathleena, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good to hear you this morning. But I have a great Terry Crisp story that you guys will love. I was at a hockey game. This was several years ago, but we were playing, I believe we were playing Calgary, if I'm not mistaken. But there were, like, a group of seven guys that had come into town for whatever reason. Maybe they were here for a bachelor party, I'm not sure. But I met them. They had bought tickets to come to the game, and I met them as we were talking, as we were going in the game, and we were chit-chatting and everything. And I happened to mention, I said, Calgary, y'all know Terry Crisp is our color analyst here. He was still a color analyst back then. And they went, Terry Crisp? And I said, yeah. And they go, oh, my gosh, we love that guy. And then just talking about, you know, just talking about, well, it just so happened after the game, I was walking out, you know, we were on the third level up there in the 300s, and we were walking out, and here comes Terry out of, you know, wherever he was coming from. And I said, well, there's Terry right there. And these guys, you'd have thought he was Elvis in the village. They swore to him, and they were just talking to him, and he was so gracious. He just stood there and chatted with these guys. And that's a great Terry Crisp story because that's the type of person he is. But these guys thought he was royalty.
No, that's awesome. Kathleen, we appreciate you sharing that with us.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean,
case in point.
You know, that's case in point. I mean, it's just how it is every time. I thought it was also – I was really glad that they announced it when they did, not only from the timing of being able to enjoy him for the rest of the year, but also that Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders were in town as well. It was funny. They brought him out on the band stage to kind of, you know, make the announcement and wave to the fans in the stands. And while they brought Crispy out there, I looked down on the bench, and Barry Trotz is like standing on top of the bench clapping for like a minute and 45 seconds straight. It was pretty awesome to see.
That is so cool. Yeah, and then, of course, you get in and I mean, you know, the Calgary, I mean, he's a legend in Calgary regardless – But also, I think it sort of, you know, put a little bit more on that situation too, and, you know, having his whole family there and everything. So it's going to be, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's a bittersweet farewell, but pretty awesome when you can dictate things like this as he can.
Absolutely. And looking forward to this one last season with Crispy as a broadcaster on the Predators TV network. Going to be really awesome to see that. We enjoy having him every Friday as well at 8:30. When we come back, we'll get into the Vols and Kentucky. We'll be joined by Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.